There we go. Just getting situated. Well, I'm very thankful today for friends and for people who are your rescuers at times. Last night, I got stuck. I had this thing happen on the front porch, and I could make it to my desk. And when I got to my desk, I found out it was like being on a desert island. I couldn't reach anything, and I couldn't get up. So I called Donnie Maurer, and Donnie came and rescued me. And he took me over to the hospital, and he stayed with me all night, and he got me home again. He was my rescuer. And kind of reminds me that we have a rescuer when we are in trouble, when we're stuck, when we're not able to reach anything, when we're not able to get where we need to go. We can call out on him, and he comes and he rescues us. And he takes care of us. So today is Christmas Eve. And we're celebrating love. Maybe you think of love associated with Valentine's Day. You know, February we get there and we celebrate love and we buy candy and hearts and flowers and all that wonderful stuff. And there's nothing wrong with romantic love at all. In fact, I think we all could use a little more romantic love in our life. There's nothing wrong with that. That's great. Today we're talking about a different kind of love. The fruit of love found in Galatians chapter 5 is a whole different kind of love. It's not romantic love. Romantic love can grow from it, but it doesn't start in romance. It doesn't start with feelings. It starts with God. In fact, it started a long time ago. So would you pray with me as we ask God to lead us in this morning? Lord God, we pray that you will guide us into a biblical understanding of the fruit of love. In these brief moments this morning, reveal yourself to us in your word and in our spirit. Teach us and empower us to live the love that you're raising up in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, because we're sharing in Christmas communion this morning, I'm not doing a full sermon today, but drawing from our series, Growing Fruit, I want to give you a brief message to help you prepare your heart for receiving the Lord's Supper today. Next Sunday, on New Year's Eve, we're going to wrap this series up as we close the year for 2017. Love is the final fruit that God wishes to grow inside you and me. Now, we've been working out of sequence as we've talked about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. We've talked about self-control and gentleness and faithfulness and goodness and kindness and forbearance and peace and joy and now love, which is actually the first fruit on the list as you come to it in Galatians 5. Now, I think it's highly appropriate that we're talking about love as the fruit of the Spirit on Christmas Eve. And I want to quickly unpack three things this morning. I want to unpack the fruit of love, the gift of love, and the sacrifice of love as we find them, both in the gospel story and in the fruit of the Spirit. First of all, let's look at the fruit of love, which is agape. Agape is one of four Greek words for love, and three of them are in the New Testament. First of all, there's a word called storge. Storge is a family kind of love, the love that we have for our children, the love we have for brothers and sisters, for one another. Maybe the love between parents and children. You know, there's so many different ways that that gets expressed. And then there's philia love. You know, the city of Philadelphia. Delphos is the city, and the philia is the kind. This is a deep friendship. This is an even, now we say the city of brotherly love, but it's even, this philia word is deeper than that. It expresses, you know, kind of the kind of intimate relationship that Christian brothers and sisters have for each other. You know, there's this very deep and abiding friendship that kind of grows out of that. And it's also the kind of love where we get our compassion for our fellow human beings, where we get the compassion to reach out and to care for people and to help people in so many different ways. And then there's agape. Agape is a different kind of love. It's God's kind of love. The unconditional, sacrificial, immeasurable, incomparable love of God for humans. In case you've forgotten, that's you. God's agape love is perfect and it's pure. Well, guess what? This word agape, this perfect, pure love of God, is the word that appears in Galatians chapter 5 when it talks about that fruit of the Spirit. And it's something that God wants to produce in you. And if you are a believer, he is already producing it in you. The fruit of love is something very special. It's the fruit that allows us to love people even when we disagree with their opinions. It's the fruit of love that allows us to love people when we even disagree with their lifestyles. It's the fruit of love that lets us love people even when they talk differently and look differently than we do. And it's the fruit of love that makes us different from other people, that makes us stand out. Because we're told that we're to be known not by our good works, not by the signs in our front yard, not by the bumper stickers on our car or the t-shirts we wear, but by our love for one another. And that's how they know that we are Christians, according to the scripture. The gift of love is where the fruit of love comes from. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life." God's love is the reason he sent his only Son. God's love is what we're celebrating at Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us, God incarnate, God became flesh. Jesus didn't have to come, and the Father didn't have to send him. Think about what would have happened, or rather wouldn't have happened, if God was uncaring and distant, as some people think he is. You know, I've been listening to a number of podcasts about atheism recently, and one of the sort of broken record things you hear over and over and over from the atheist contingency is how uncaring and distant God is. If God was uncaring and distant, we would not have received the gift of Jesus. But because God loved you, and because he did not want you to perish, and because he did not want to see you lost in your sin, he sent his Son, Jesus. He isn't uncaring. He's loving, and he's up close and personal. God came himself. Jesus is God's Christmas gift to you. And with Jesus, it's kind of Christmas every day when you think about it. If you think about the extent of God's love and the extent of that gift and all the things that changes in your life, that's the Christmas spirit. That's what Christmas is all about. It's the full meaning of that gift that makes a great deal of sense and brings us a great deal of blessing. How many of you guys are hunters? I know a number of hunters. You know, come on, some of you guys are hunters. Just stick your hands up. Some of you ladies might be hunters too. Don't hesitate to stick your hands up. Awesome. So I see, you know, quite a number of you. I know one or two hunters. I've known a lot of hunters over the years. At one point, we served in a church in Michigan, and as you can imagine, Michigan is a big hunting state. There's a lot of bush there and lots of deer. A hunter I knew told me about a trip he was taking to his hunting cabin. It was in Upper Michigan, and the Upper Peninsula is just beautiful wilderness area. And he's going to be hunting with a couple of older brothers from the congregation, Fred and Ross. And so as the time got a little bit closer, Al called them up and he asked them about plans for food. You know, we need to plan for this trip. What are we going to do about food? And Fred told them, "Don't worry. It's all looked after. When Ross comes, he's bringing the good stuff." Well, Al was... You know, these are two older gentlemen, and he wanted to make sure that everything was covered. And so, as a contingency, he called Ross on the phone. And Ross told him, "Al, I've got it all under control. You're going to like what I've got. I'm bringing the good stuff." So Al didn't worry about it. He figured they had it covered. Well, he drove all that way up to the cabin, long, many hours of driving. And he got there. He found Fred was waiting for him, but Ross didn't arrive. Ross wasn't there. In fact, Ross didn't arrive for several hours. And as the day wore on, Al was getting pretty hungry because he didn't bring any food. He thought that, you know, Ross had it covered. He was bringing the good stuff. Finally, he didn't know what to do. He thought he would get back in his car and go driving and see if they could find some place, some little corner store somewhere where they could get something to eat. And Fred kept saying, "Don't worry. Ross is coming. Ross is bringing the good stuff. Well, finally, after dark, we hear a car pull up and Ross has arrived. And he got out and they helped him unload his car. And Al said to him, "Ross, I don't see any groceries. I don't see any food. Ross, where's the food? I'm starving." And Ross held up a big bag of deer jerky. And he said, "I got it right here." And Al said, "But Ross, you didn't bring any food. All you brought was deer jerky." And Ross looked at him and got a big grin on his face. And he said, "Yeah, Al, but it's really good stuff." Some gifts are like that. Lots and lots of promise, but a little short on the delivery when it comes to the end, right? But not God's gift. God's gift really is the good stuff. God's gift is the Lord Jesus himself, and he is the good stuff. The good stuff of God's gift involves forgiveness of sins. It involves eternal life. It involves his presence in your life right now, here on earth. And it involves the beginning of his kingdom come. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come." And that began with the coming of Jesus and will be finally fulfilled entirely when he comes again. Well, all that came through a sacrifice of love. They say the full measure of love is the cost. What does it cost you? Is it real love, or does it cost you something? In John 15, we read, "As the Father so loved me," and this is Jesus talking to his disciples, "so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Jesus went to the cross for love. And if we follow Jesus' commands, we just talked about that, Kathy talked about that, obedience to God's commands, we remain in his love. And we are commanded to love each other, just as Jesus loved his disciples and Jesus loves us. Jesus' love led to the ultimate sacrifice for you and for me. The fruit of love, which God wants to show to the people of the world, is growing in you as a believer and as a follower of Jesus. The fruit of love is growing in you because of God's gift of love to you. And his gift is Jesus. And that gift that we celebrate at Christmas ultimately led to the completion of that gift, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for you and for me. I think sometimes we get to Christmas and we forget that Christmas and Easter are connected in complete ways. You just can't separate the two because one led to the other, and one was the path to the other. Well, we remember that gift. We acknowledge that gift, and we return thanks for that gift as we celebrate communion. And this morning as we celebrate communion, remember that it symbolizes pretty much everything we've just talked about. It symbolizes the coming of Jesus. It symbolizes the sacrifice of Jesus as God's gift. The love of God, which he wants to raise up in you, if you'll let him. As we share in communion this morning, let me encourage you to say yes to God once again. Say yes to receiving his love. Say yes to following Jesus. Say yes to allowing him to produce his love in you. Don't resist it. Receive it. And become the love of God for others to see. 2 weeks ago, I gave you two words to remember. They were live, peace. Last week, I gave you another two words to remember, and that was receive, joy. This week, I want to give you two more words, and that is be love. Now, be God's love for other people to see. Be God's love in this world so that God will use you to talk to others, that they will recognize, first of all, that you're a believer through your love for one another, And secondly, they'll recognize that Jesus, there must be something to this Jesus. Look at the love. That was the thing that drew me when I came to know Christ, was seeing others with a love on a level that I had never seen or experienced before. And that's what God wants to raise up in you and raise up in me, is that kind of love so that others may see. Well, the story of Christmas began in a manger, and it led to the cross. We commemorate that here in the Lord's table. And the story of Christmas continues in you. Receive Jesus, God's gift of love. Believe that he died for your sins. Be raised up to eternal life and pass on the gift of love. Be God's love for others. As we approach the Lord's table, I invite you to bow your heads and prepare your hearts with me. Lord, lead us into this time of memorial, this time of reflection, this time of blessing. We believe that you died for our sins and that you were raised on the third day as the completion of God's gift begun at Christmas. We surrender our hearts fully to you, and we ask your forgiveness for our sins. We ask that you lead our lives. Give us clean hearts. In these moments of silence, we open our hearts. We confess to you our sins and ask your forgiveness. Hear our silent prayers, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In this time of memorial, we receive you in the symbols of bread and the symbol of wine. We ask your blessing, but we ask that we might be a blessing to you. We praise your holy name, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite those who are serving communion with me this morning, if you would come forward.